summertime is coming, and the trees are sweetly blooming, and the wild mountain.
Hello and welcome to episode 36 of Keith's Craft Collective. I'm Louise, and this episode the blather is about coincidences. I'll tell you about the recent Gaelic Wool Festival, a listener's happy time at Knit Nation, Caithness Quilting Exhibition, and of course, the Me 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 Show. So get your cup of tea, your craft, and I'll tell you what crack is in Caithness this week. Away in and sit for a blather.
Now for the blather.
This week it's about coincidences. Do you ever walk down the street after thinking about someone and what a coincidence there they are? It doesn't happen to me too often, but some coincidences do happen, and I thought, well, that's a good place as to any to write them down. Now, my examples are mostly Islay ones, really. For some reason, the magic isle on the west coast has links to me. I've told you about working with the father of a wee boy called Alexander, and he was born in the same hospital the day before my Alexander, and I actually met them when I was there. But we only just realised afterwards, and I asked the father if he knew an Ishbal, who turned out to be his wife. So yes, he did know her very well. Now, we were supposed to meet another entrepreneur, businessman, who turns out he was actually working on the mainland at the time. But I was tweeting that it was on Isla, and I started being followed by Torin Isla, who turned out it was the mother of the entrepreneur businessman we were supposed to meet. I mean, I know it's a small island, but it really could have been an awful lot more other people. Then we were at All Energy in Aberdeen. Yes, I have bored you with that one before. But Stormcat's boat builders were over from Isla, who we met when we were there. And we had met the owner, Gus, before, who is a star, and we wished them well, but we had not met his colleague, and he was just lovely. So it turns out, he used to live in Caithness when he was a bairn, because his father was a lighthouse keeper at Duncan's Behead at John O'Groats. He was then talking to us at our stand and said, "In fact, I used to live there," and he pointed to our banner at the back, which had a landscape picture of Duncan's Behead and the lighthouse, because it's the area where our client, Scottish Power Renewables, are putting in the tidal turbines. And it was one of many, many different pictures that we could have chosen. I just said, put that one there because that's where we're going to be working. So then Gordon, from the next stand to ours at the time, was representing Wick Harbour. Of course, knew a lot of people because we knew due to us being Wickers, and including my own dad. I think he used to play football with him. Or, well, my father used to go on and tackle a lot of people. He was a bit dirty. And he said that he used to work in Edinburgh many years ago in the water and sewers department at the council. To which I said, "Did you know Jim Gray?" And he said, "Yes." Well, that might not be strange to you, but I worked there for 7 years, and Jim was in my section and the most lovely man I have got a lot of respect for. Hi, Jim. So then I meet someone with no connection to Edinburgh in Aberdeen, and he knew Jim too. The last work coincidence for you. Well, I'm pleased to announce that Energy Hunt, i.e. my company, are scheduled to maintain a Met mast in the Moray Firth. I'll read the press release a bit for you. Gale Energy has won the contract to install the first permanent piece of offshore wind infrastructure in the Moray Firth. Moray Offshore Renewables is a joint venture between EDP Renewables and Repsol. See, this bit's important. And they have selected the Suffolk-based Gale to put a meteorological, not easy for me to say, I normally call them MET, mast in the stretch of water. The 330-feet tower will be located 60 miles to the southeast of Caithness and is used to record data such as wind speed, barometric pressure and temperature. Now, Gale said that the mast will be maintained by its Caithness subcontractor, Energy Hunt. Hello, that's us. So it's really good news. Keeps me in business and you in podcasts. Very much looking forward to working with Gale and EDP Renewables. And obviously Repsol has took well. But Hobby's away down to meet up with EDP coming week, and it turns out that one of my relations works for them. So remember back to Helmsdale Highland Games last August, which is coming up, but I'm looking forward to it, and I go and get my face fed by my dad's cousins Joey and Anne, who have the old vintage car, and we always park up by the statue. Now, they insist Hobby eats, because, well, Hobby likes his food, and he eats all he can, and they love the fact that he can eat. So cousin Joey was talking about her son, and he cannot recall meeting at any point in time, and he works for a renewable company. But we never put two and two together, and he's the contact that we're meeting. So, this is where I say, it's a small world. So do you have these kind of coincidences? I'll have to come to the craft tenuous link. Have you ever been making something or planning to make something, and you already have the materials in your stash, but you've not yet realised? That's a happy coincidence. I found a lovely shawl called the Dragonfly from the One Skein group on Ravelry, and I thought, quite like that. I've got a dragonfly brooch. It's very pretty. And I also am reading Sandy the Hobbit, which is a big dragon called Smaug. I can't see it, so I call him Smaug. There's dragons everywhere. Then I mention I didn't buy yarn from Liddell's this week for an owl's jumper by Katie Davis, and Sparkly Shoes on Twitter says she's currently knitting this project. Also from last episode's Knit Lottery, where I get a lot of lovely feedback. Most people were talking about the cruise, because there are indeed crafting cruises, and I would love to go on them. But Fiddly Stick said she would like the fountain pen part. I'm talking about lotteries, she talks about fountain pens. Isn't that nice? So to clear up any confusion about the crafting, there would be no requirement for you to take your purse, because if I won the lottery, like that much money, I'm paying for it. So you pack your case, you open your door, I'll collect you, holiday you, craft you up, supply you up, then deliver you home with lots more stuff than you went away with. It's lovely to dream, isn't it? But I got a lovely message, a couple of messages from Sally from Largs, who said that the actual lottery winners were customers of hers. So I would still wish them all the best and hello to Sally from Largs. I hope it is not the middle of the night just now for you. But really, are coincidences magic, or just because from all those thousands of thoughts your brain has every day, or from all the people that you have ever met, when two or more of these things tie in, that makes the magic of coincidence? If you type the word in coincidence into Google, it comes up with a few websites for the most amazing coincidences of things, such as a baby falls out from a high up window and is saved from a passerby. And this doesn't just happen this once, it happens twice. And it's exactly the same passerby and exactly the same baby. There can be some pretty uncomfortable coincidences too that can be considered conspiracies. But I prefer the mathematical probability of things to have tie-ups sometimes. And also, just the magic of walking down the road and you thought of somebody in the morning and you meet that person that you thought of. Right, if you need a pee, stop now because it's time for the Daisy Laugh. Right, no craft fairy this week. She's on her holidays. I'd like to express a warm hello to all new listeners, medium listeners, and older listeners.
Hello.
Have you put your pin in the listener map? I'd like to say a big Sandy hello.
Hello.
To new Ravelry group members, Treacle and Ink of Craft Life Podcast, carry on with the gin, you will like it, we insist. My Sparkly Shoes, i.e. Chloe, who helps out on I Make Podcast sometimes. Hawthorne C, who hails from Dún Undar, and check her blog out. And K-Star, who's in Madrid just now. So, hello Spain. And I've had some lovely messages. I love your project pages, because I have looked. And I hope you all have a good blather and a What's a Crack section on Ravelry. We've got some random hellos to Rebecca H, Resorta, Rocky, T, Mama, Rue, Ruth Crafts, and Ray. Also, in the Get Well and Thinking of You section, Norway. Such devastating news. My heart goes out to each and every one of you. So be strong, and we are thinking of you. On to What's a Crack section.
What's the e-crack section?
Gigglecast. I got the bairns recorded for 2 minutes and 30 of some giggles for you. And because, well, the news hadn't been so nice the past week, I sort of pulled my finger out, I tickled the bairns, I recorded it and I put it up. And when I was pulling it back to my mum and Sandy, the pair of them were hee-hawing. And I just sat there laughing and I know what's coming, so... If you need a wee happy time, just plug yourself into Gigglecast. If you're no into giggling, then I download it. Simple as that. I went down to Open last weekend to attend the Gaelic Wool Festival, which was held in Benderloch, Argyll. We stayed at my in-laws, who live in North Connell, which is about 3 miles away from Benderloch. So we got there, but brother-in-law was over visiting his bairns as well, which was nice, as the bairns love him, and he took me and hubby to the Loch Neil pub while granny and grandad babysat. So it takes along my knitting, and I'll tell you what it is in the me section, and I'm happily sitting there in the lounge, knitting, drinking, wine and blathering, with a whole day of woolly goodness ahead of me. So in walks about 15 people and the lounge fills up. Well, and I know that I'm kind of being looked at, but it doesn't bother me because I'm not bothered about knitting in public. Well, when you can only do knitting sparingly due to little handies trying to unravel your precious work, you grab every opportunity, believe me. And I'm not showing off, I'm just sitting there working away. Drinking wine and eating crisps. So then I see a weirdly familiar person come over and sit down. I see you knitting. And I think, well, you obviously don't know me, but I recognise you from somewhere. She says, are you aware that there is a wool festival? Stop right there. Are you Argyle Jacobs or Jill? Nope, that's her over there. I'm Senecar, or Ennis. I said, I'm Louise J. Hunt from Caithness on Ravelry. I've been talking to you for months now, in that high-pitched voice too. Hello! And it was like we'd never been apart. So she shouts Jill over, hi, this is Louise Hunt from Caithness. My brother-in-law then looks well confused. Eh? How do you know her? I said, oh, the knitting website. And I says, she's famous! I fall about laughing, and a one-hour conversation about the wool fest commences. Plus wine. So we were in the company of the organisers, Jill Bowis, and also the Gaelic Walking Group, who proceed to give us a couple of songs. For you wondering why a walking group was singing, it's not walking as in putting your feet in front of each other, it's walking the cloth, as in W-A-U-L-K-I-N-G. And walking songs are Scottish folk songs traditionally sung by women while walking the cloth. This practice involved a group of people beating newly woven tweed rhythmically against a table or similar surface to soften it. Simple beating-driven songs were used to accompany the work. I've got a video link in the show notes of them, which is the Inverclyde Walking Group, www.walk.org, who are stupendous. They were really good, they just started singing in the middle of the pub. The Jill tells me that Thursday saw 2,000 people come over to the farmer's market and the singing and demonstrations of spinning and shearing. And the Friday had the classes of learning to spin and preparing a fleece and peg looming and more singing. Tell you what, Don Inverclyde Walking Group have a good weekend. So I was dropped off by my brother-in-law in the morning on the Saturday. He's a good lad. He helped me in with my spinning wheel and I had 3 bags of fleece. And I was immediately given a seat and a warm welcome. And I'm kind of glad that I met everybody the night before because we got stuck right into the woolly goodness. I set up my Ashford Joy wheel and I was given a proper spinning seat to try. But it was too small and with only 3 legs, I promptly fell over. I tried a few times, but nah, it was too small and I thought, it's comedy. So I changed it back and then I showed a lady how to spin on my wheel. How nice am I? It's the first person I've ever done. And she was sickeningly good at it too. So I think she was converted and I'd love to hear how she gets on. We demonstrated for a while and Innes taught about 10-15 people to spin throughout the day. And around the hall there were tables with raw and prepared fleece for sale and display. There was a table with naturally dyed samples, and I've got a photograph of this. There was needle felting, there was dyed yarn, there was peg looms, there was knitted garments for sale. A campaign for wool was on display and I handed out the Scott Flock information and tried to tell people about it. And the best 2 bits for me was a professional wool picker and 2 Lewitt drum carders, both of which were free for us to use. So, let me tell you more about the wool picker. Now, Vin, who has Loch Awe Shetlands, he's got a flock of Shetland sheep and lives down Loch Awe, hence the name. And he started up a processing business. I've got a photograph of the wool picker, which was electric. And I kid you not, it was like a evil tool that one of the Bond villains would use. And really, you put your fleece in one side and it picks it to bits on the other side. And whilst my white Jacob was being fed through, I thought this up because I thought, actually, that could have been quite easily been Blofeld's cat. Oh, I'm only joking. Anyway, it takes the fleece in and it just rips it up into lovely, airable, usable wool. And you can then use it for carding or spinning or felting or whatever. So, Loch Awe Shetlands, I've got his details on the show notes. His name is Vin, and he's got a new venture, but he's like you and me. He's into sheep, using sheep in their glory, and he's worth supporting him. And he's one of the good guys, and I wish him all the best. There was also a wonderful old spinning wheel on loan from the Lismore Museum, and it still worked. And I got a shot of it. Oh well, I was pretty much told, sit there and spin. I've only been spinning since last September, you know. Now, they call it a gossip, but I'm not sure of the proper name. And it's set up for 2 people to spin on at the same time. One person does the treadling and there are 2 bobbins. And I have no idea what the full technical explanation is, but they thought that it was either set up with an extension for doing a long draw with one person with 2 hands. You have to do a lot of preparation for that. Or 2 people could just happily spin away on 2 bobbins at the same time. It was a very sturdy old wheel and I wished it could talk to tell its story of who had it, where it lived, what it made over the years. Anyway, it was very good. But I really am famous now because the local press, the Open Times, were there and they took my photograph of Innes and I using this wheel. And if you go to the Highland Knitwits group on Ravelry and you go to the Gaelic Wool Festival, in there is a picture of me in the Open Times. I even did my hair. Well, no, I didn't, actually. That's what the face was for. But I spent all afternoon carding and I ended up with 400 grams of battered cream Jacob and then had another 100 grams of white mule carded. And also my brown Jacob was just wool picked a bit, so it's just ready. And I'm delighted with this, and thanks to Jill and everyone else for putting on this event. She plans to have one next year, which is the 19th to the 21st of July in 2012. Put it in your diary now. You know, it's not Woolfest in Cumbria or Wonder Wool in Wales. I think I've got them the right word. Nor is it Rhineback or any of you American stuff. But it's ours, and it was fantastic. I didn't need anything more. Jill was wanting it to be for spinners and woolly people to get together, use fleece, swap fleece, talk fleece, be a woolly-tastic good time. So it's all about the craft, man. I always laugh when I say that, it sounds so cheesy. And then on the Saturday night, they had a concert performance of the Inverclyde Walking Group, which I'm told was very good. But by this point, I had headed off with the family to visit friends and open for a barbecue. So on to Caithness Quilters Exhibition. I apologise for not reminding you that the annual Caithness Quilters Exhibition was held during the WIC Gala Week, as usual, in the Assembly Rooms in conjunction with the WRI. The WRI did the raffle bits and the bottle stall and the baking. But I did attend, of course. I had the whole family there as well, and Mum took them to eat cake, whilst I took some lovely photos of the quilts on show for you. I even had my own Peapod quilt there on show, and I got a few compliments from very experienced quilters about my machine embroidery. See my head? It is so big I can't get it through the door. The theme to the exhibition was kind of an anniversary one, as quilters have been going for 10 years, and the idea was to have the first piece of work on show beside the most recent. And it was wonderful to see how far I've come down the quilting journey after 10 years. If you love quilting, go to my Flickr pages and the Podbean page going down to the right, and take special notice of the cake stand and the Ferrero Rocher box full of material sweeties. We all kind of went, oh, here, wait a minute, they're not real. Granted, I can't eat them anyway, but I was slightly disappointed. But they were really good. Well done, Helen. So I had promised you a photo of Dorothy's puffin quilt from the competition Food for Thought in May, and I've got two of them up, as I loved it. She's got six puffins sitting on their cliff top with some food in their mouth like sand eels, and she did a machine embroidery for the puffins. And remember, there was no black material for the puffin, it's all black thread. I've got a close-up of one puffin so you can see it. She'd hand-dyed the material for the sky, and I've got a piece with the same colours on it because we did it the same day. Obviously hers is exquisite and mine's was not. But her cliff top was textured with acrylic texture paint. I have some of this too because she was there in Liddell's. And she says, I've got some of this. I don't know what it's for. I've seen it in a magazine somewhere, but I'm going to try it out. And then later on she did say, well, she used it for cliff top, but it didn't put two and two together until she saw the quilt. And I thought, I've got that. Cool. I've not opened one yet. But I know what I use it for now. So it was a stupendous exhibition by some of Caithness's finest. Now, Knit Nation, this is the roundup by our listener Ella, who you'll know as Giftknit Girl on Ravelry. Mind, I met her in Glasgow when I was down in March. So she sent me a message a wee while ago asking if I wanted anything from Knit Nation. Hello, the whole lot. No, I said no thank you to yarn because at the point in time I was being good. So I asked her to send me a wee report on how she got on, and what I got back was brilliant. 10 out of 10 for doing your homework, Ella. It's a diary with pictures of our long weekend, and I'll give you the abridged version through for a fantastic time. Thursday the 14th of July. She sets off from Glasgow to London by train about mid-morning and had a lovely relaxing time knitting and listening to podcasts on the train south. Her hubby was working on the nation's capital and met her at Euston Station, so they go for a romantic dinner to a Persian restaurant. Nice. Doesn't say romantic, but I like to think that it was. I should have some romantic music underneath this. Friday the 15th. She was staying in a hotel across Hyde Park, so she walked over to the Imperial College where the event was. Clever. Nice planner. Now, I remember walking past that last year with the statue of Ernest Shackleton in it. Oh, curse my bad time organisation of holidays. Anyway, back to Ella. So she met her friend and she blathered. Oh, there's a surprise. And she went into Franklin Habit's Introduction to the History, Methods and Styles of Lace Knitting. She learned so much from him about lace. He was an entertaining and engaging lecturer. And the watchwords for lace knitting is preparation and concentration. Knitted a complete repeat from his Parterre Brodeur pattern. It's lovely. and he signed her copy of It Itches, which is very cool. And I'd heard a playful day interview him about this course, and so nice one, Ella, you got on it. That was just the morning. So then in the afternoon she went to Elise Dovicott, which was Columns of Cables and Knit One Below. She'd bought the Knit One Below book a couple of weeks earlier and had produced a swatch. Adding cables, just looking at the book, seemed too complicated for her, but with Elise's patient teaching she managed it. There was also a chance to handle the samples knitted for the book, and several of the items looked much, much nicer in the wool than in the pictures. That's quite nice to actually hear that, isn't it? Then it was the marketplace preview. She couldn't even get close to the loop stand to look at the wool miser because the queue was that huge. She did manage to get signed copies of Isolde Teague's books, Whimsical Knits 2 and Little Raid in the City. She met her last year and she discovered that she used to live three streets away from her home in Edinburgh. Not a coincidence, I used to live half a city away from you, Isolde. Mind you were just a wee bit bare then. After all that excitement, she went to for another romantic dinner to an Italian. Oh, Ella, you romantic points will be up after this. Mind you, your hubby would have known how much you had been spending, so it's probably a good job you were doing that. On Saturday morning, she said it was raining. I have no pity, because wait to hear this bit. She went to Anne Hansen's finishing series. Yeah, no pity, none. She had full class in a room where the air conditioning wasn't working, but they coped. I'm sure you did. Anne used her baby cardi bits as an example of how to block. T-pin to a front to a blocking mat covered by a towel. Carefully measure, then apply shots of steam from an iron, not touching but hovering an inch or so above. Then pin out the other front on reverse side on top of the first one. Blindingly obvious once pointed out to you. Yeah, I hadn't even thought about that either. Now, proceeded similarly with the sleeves and then did the back. She also demonstrated wet blocking with some other students' work and showed how to deal with nups. You tease up gently with a T-pin, then put the T-pin horizontally through the nup while it dries. In the afternoon, they learned how to do the macro stitch and a mini tutorial of how to avoid stair-step shoulders. And three different techniques, but she now knows how to do short row shoulders and a three-needle cast-off. Anne is another excellent teacher of whom she learned a lot. She feels more confident in her ability to do justice to her knitting by finishing things properly. So then she got soaked by a torrential downpour that came on when she was halfway across Hyde Park on the way back to the hotel. Still no sympathy. She had to dry her coat with a hairdryer because she had to put it back on to go to the theatre that evening. She had tickets for the Yes Prime Minister, which was hilarious. I'm glad you enjoyed that. Still no pity. And yet it goes on to Sunday. She went back to Knit Nation to have another wander around the marketplace and picked up more stuff. And then she went off to meet her hubby for lunch, a wander around the Science Museum, the Miro exhibition at the Tate Modern. She had dinner at a Chinese dumpling place, and it says here, dim sum, yum yum, in my tum. Another romantic dinner, eh? Ah, you too. Do you want to hear her shopping list? I did, because I really love buying craft stuff. In fact, that's half the craft stuff I love doing. Right, someone else buying craft stuff is actually just as exciting to me. Sometimes more so, because then you get a case of envy, and you think, oh, I never knew about that stuff. I need that stuff now. I'll obviously have to save up. Ella bought 3.5mm, 10 inches long bamboo straight needles. I like how you've got both metric and imperial here, Ella. 2.5mm Hiya metal DPNs, and the only thing that actually was on her shopping list. Oh, that's not bad, at least you got something. And 4mm Knit Pro Symphony DPNs. She also got, there's a few of this, a skein of Yard Yard Clan in purples, a skein of Easy Knit Big Boy in Blizzard, shades of grey, a skein of Tall Yarn Superwash Sock, undyed, Rowan Lane Per Linen Stole Kit, which is a free gift with her subscription to Knitting Magazine. She got Knit Nation 2011 Project Bag, a Knit Nation 2011 mug, which is bone china, really good quality, she says. She got Winterberry Shawl Pattern from Easy Knits, Althea Shawl Pattern from Easy Knits, Flower in the Rain Shawl Pattern from P Hope, which is Pennies from Hour of Pleasure. She also got, I'm not going on too much, Isolde Teague's Whimsical Little Knits 2, Little Raid in the City, Evelyn Clark Knitted Lace Triangles, Anna Horachevic Knitting Mocky Mocky, sorry if I pronounced that wrong, cards and tea towels from Tillyflop. And it says, if I was going again, I would take classes on all 3 days, but only half day class on Saturday and Sunday, depending on what's on offer. She tried to be more organised about meeting Ravelry friends because she missed most of them. And then she says, what do I mean if? Of course I'm going again. See you in 2013. So, well done, Ella. So let's all save up now. Sadly, it's not next year because of the Olympics, but then I'm going to the Olympics. Not that I've got tickets, but we're going to go to see the marathon or bike stuff or just be part of the family fun. Because, to be perfectly honest, I don't think my parents would probably appreciate sitting for all day in a hot stadium. But they'll have some memories of saying I was there. And that's the plan anyway. And we'll save up for 2013 and have a massive podcaster meetup then. So thank you very much, Ella, for that report. After hearing from A Playful Day, I Make and Hoxton Handmake about Knit Nation, it sounds marvellously yardly fun. And so long ago now too. But cheers the organisers too. Please do 2013. Right, fibre postcard update. I have about finished my postcards. They will be posted by the time I speak to you again. No pressure, everyone else, but I would like something nice in my post soon. So I'm only getting bills just now and it's rubbish. Right, Scottish segment is written, but I'm going to do it next episode. I'm going to keep you hanging on for that. Craft Chamber of Commerce. The lost button on Folksy. Now, this is my friend who I went to whose barbecue, and it's not payment for going to her barbecue, it's because she's nice. She's from Oban, and she has a Folksy site that I just found out about. And I recommend it not only because she's my friend, but because she's a lovely person and very gifted. So, she has also got some lovely items for sale. She specialises in creating crafty goodness from found or recycled items. And just now she's got bunting and lovely wooden house signs listed for sale. She's kind of got these around her house already, and luckily for us has decided to start selling a few. I know it's right up my friend Sarah's street, so I hope she starts to put on her aprons as well, because they're very glamorous, 50s chic, and you feel posh as anything just wearing them. So go on to Folksy and look up The Lost Button. And she named it after her favourite book by Arnold Lobel. Right, the Me Show.
I buy books, I never read, and then I tell you some more about me!
Vegetarius was all about me. Well, I finished The Brioche Hat by Wendy Easton from Weekend Knitting Book. I will take your applause and be smug because I am so chuffed I finished it. I moaned and moaned ever since the idea came into my head when I first got the book at the library, then bought the book. But I bet you're also glad, oh good, she'll shut up about this now. I had cast it on at least 15 times, at least. But I'm so minded, I was not giving up on it. Hobby had helped when the Jacob sheep were sheared, and I prepared the fleece, I spun it, I managed to knit it up after much learning. I learned how to do tubular cast on. And I recommend you go to YouTube to look this up. I learned that I like DPNs rather than Magic Loop for this. I'm very pleased with the softness of the Jacob knitted up, especially for a hat, which I thought it would be too scratchy for. And it's not, it's nice and soft. I've got some photos of Hubby wearing it when we went for a romantic walk the other night when the bairns were away at Granny's. So check out my Ravelry project pages or on the Podbean site down to the right. He's now wanting to grow a beard to match the hat. Not greatly chuffed about this, so I might take the hat back. I wasn't so good at the decreasing, so don't look too close. And it does need shrinking and de-smelling, because it still smells of sheep. But I've since promised one to Al of the Monochrome Sheep blogspot whose sheep it is from. And actually, I'd quite like one too. But I agreed to doing this when I was drinking wine, so he'll just have to wait. Now, on my travels, I took with me my Elizabeth Zimmerman Almanac book that I was gifted last year from the lovely Ursula, who's lace maven. Hello! I'm using it. Thank you. And I took one ball of the brown and red yarn that I acid dyed earlier this year and I sat in the car. I decided that I was ready to cast on a pie shawl. So I opened her July chapter and I laughed because she described taking a project with you on holidays. And I was going to open to Garlic Wool Festival for the weekend, and I had at least 3 solid hours of knitting time one way and I had 4 on the way back. It does take about 6 hours to get to Oban from my house, including stops, but I had to take my turn at driving, hence less knitting time. I got the book in my bag whilst I was still in my driveway, and I was ready to cast on by the time I was at Latherin. And I got my crochet hook. I couldn't remember how to do it because it's a circular cast on where you kind of do a magic loop and a crochet cast on, but you don't take the stitches off the hook, but you keep them on it. Yeah, I know. Go to YouTube, Emily Oker's Cast On, rather than try and figure out from what I've just said, because, yeah. I had seen it a wee while ago, and then I thought, oh, I'll do that. I know what I'll do. I got my phone out, and I tried loading it up when I was going through Helmsdale. And it took until I was south of Tain before I got to the point where I remembered how to do it, with the reception kicking in and out and having to load it up and up and up again. The video's about 8 minutes long, and really, ridiculous. I used size 4mm bamboo DPNs, and those are the ones that I bought in London, which I had cast on enough, I dropped the crochet hook down the side of the car seat. I almost got it out, but I knocked it further up. I touched it and it kept going. No matter, I had more crochet hooks in my bag. So I cast on, and I was knitting and I was counting and stitching merrily away, and then I dropped one of the DPNs, the very spot the crochet hook went to, and I couldn't get it out either. No matter. I was knitting on 3, using a 4th, I had 5 in this set. Hooray for 5! And then when we stopped near Fort Augustus to walk the dog, I got the car seat sorted, and I got the hook and the needle out and stored them back in the wrappers. Now, I'm new to Elizabeth's patterns, and she amused me greatly when she said the man across from her must have thought she was out of her fur at one point. Mum laughed at that too. But it's a very free and easy pattern. And I also got confused into thinking I was doing the same one that's on the cover, but no, I'm not. I'm doing the buttonhole one. And, ugh, this yarn's lovely enough, and it's knitting up nicely. And it's not bad for a bag of yarn from the charity shop for £2 that I've dyed. I've called it Dragon's Breath Pie Shawl. The colours are for the dragon's fiery breath, because of the Hobbit that I'm reading to Sandy, and it's all about dragons in my house just now. And it's a very nice, easy knit once you're started. In fact, I had no problem with the start of it once I'd remembered how to do it. So, I'm now at 288 stitches and 42 lines to go. There's a song in there somewhere. So, finally, are you still awake? So much for me making this shorter. Oh, here, I've missed out your Solda Teague's review of your book, but I will do a proper one next episode, except to say I recommend it, so don't wait on my recommendation for buying it, but I will review it next week. I was thinking of selling some of the Jacob Roving or some of it spun up. Would anybody be interested? Message me if you are, because I've got 400 grams of cream. I've actually got quite a lot of brown picked but not carded, and I'll sell that one too, because this is for my mission to get me a drum carder, don't you know? And that's me. Thank you very much for listening. I hope you're all in good health and fettle. And you can download me from iTunes and Podbean. You can email me on caithnesscraftcollective@gmail.com. You can get me on Ravelry as Louise G. Hunt and join the Caithness Craft Collective group in there. I'm also on Seamed Up and Stitching Fingers and Twitter as Caithness Craft. So, music is Wild Mountain Time by Mark Gunn, courtesy of musicalley.com. You can purchase it from there if you like it, and he has his own podcast too. Thank you for listening, and keep on crafting.
Will you go? I see you go. Will you go? I see you go. We go.